Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Last week, we talked about one of the incidents that happened a few weeks back at the Brother Islands in Egypt in the Red Sea. In that podcast, I mentioned that most guides are not properly trained to guide divers in the vicinity of sharks and are also not able to brief them correctly when it comes down to these animals. But there's another problem. Most of them are afraid of the sharks. So my question is, how can you be a dive guide, lead dive groups at the Broads, and then fear sharks? That doesn't add up, even more so, since they are, at least on paper, responsible for the dive group. Of course, you can point out that their fear comes from not having had a proper education when it comes to sharks, shark encounters, and so blame it on a lack of funds, but that is an excuse that is just not acceptable. Every guide I come across out there is either just hang out when not in the water, or is on his phone and does whatever you do when there is no connection. So if you just play on the phone or surf the net, why not look for information how to face and interact with sharks? Easy solution to a widespread problem, I would think. Well, actually it's wrong. Even reading up on it would not prepare them, since they would have to actually then face a shark and repeatedly so. So in other words, they would have to repeatedly then interact with a shark, face a shark, in order to let it sink in. What will work is visualization, something we always do when, for example, freediving with sharks. Preparation time is also visualization time. On one hand, you already, quote-unquote, see what you plan to do. On the other hand, you remain relaxed. So visualizing how to face a shark is more than just helpful. It is crucial how you then perform during the first or following up encounter. But here again, one has to put in the time. What I'm saying is that guys, especially in the Red Sea, cannot use the excuse of not having enough money or whatever reason they dream up to, because they all have cell phones. So the network, the internet is right there. It all comes down to reading. Reading a page on the internet, reading a book, or just checking the internet on the subject as such. Memorize the essential and picture it, visualize it. So if you put in the extra mile, you will always come out ahead of that thing. But being on such ships, laziness creeps up on you. And the last thing dive guides want to do is keep educating themselves. Okay, enough about putting in the extra effort. And I do apologize for the exception of guides who actually educate themselves, okay? But I first have to encounter one that really puts in extra time. Why is that? Because whenever on boats or guys see me, they always ask me the same simple question. Most of the time, they're really, really simple questions that you could answer yourself by surfing the net, reading a book, or get your information through another source. Okay, anyway, let's briefly go back to visualization contacts with sharks. I often have to interpret bites, and no videos exist how it happened. So all there is left are wound pictures, an activity, and an explanation of the victim. Although the explanation of the victim can help, it hardly ever tells a detailed story on the position of the shark relative to the person's longitudinal axis, the surface, the reef, or whatever. This is where visualization comes into play. Whenever I then try to visualize the event, I first make sure that I have a clear picture of the species that was involved. Such is crucial, since different species behave differently in closer vicinity, and even when I try to fit the wound to the shark, I like to be able to, again, quote-unquote, see the species and if the wound creation could have happened in a manner I see it. You don't have to have a background in sharks to visualize in preparation for an encounter. No, just read a section of an interaction, and while you read, or after that, try to see the situation. The more you do it, the easier it gets, and the more you will get about a potential scenario. Whenever I work on recommendations, I try to see the scenario from the person's side as well as from the shark's side. I admit that it takes more imagination when you try to see it from the shark's side, but here as well, The more you try, the easier it gets. However, there's something you must consider when seeing a situation from a shark's eye. It's called mental capacity oriented animal perspective. Well, no, I know that's really mouthful. I repeat it. Mental capacity oriented animal perspective. It basically means that you have to interpret the situation with the mental capacity of the animal, in our case, the sharks. In my next podcast, I will go into the MCOPE in more detail. Still, I hope you already get an idea what the potential of visualization is, and the more you deal with sharks, the better the mental scenarios will get. Visualization is, of course, not the main element of a recommendation. That would still be the actual testing. But visualization makes it possible that you already know what to look for when you create the test scenarios. Whenever dealing with sharks, it is prudent to use any mental tool that either helps you to see ahead of a situation with a shark, improves relaxation, or enhances the viewpoint of the shark that you try to understand. So that may explain why we spend so much time when we freedive with sharks on meditation and relaxation exercises. Both help to improve contact time, and more importantly, it reduces mental stress that may be part during an encounter. Anything that helps you to calm down and to focus should be used. Sometimes I even use the shark to meditate. What I do is count their tail beats. It works like a metronome to me. And my pulse always drops. But counting tail beats has another advantage as well. You can determine if the shark either changes speed or if its stress level is increased. Should the increased tail beats lead to an increased speed, you notice it right away. Should, however, the increased tail beat not show an increased speed, then it is a sign of stress. So next time you see a shark, try to count the tail beats. Use always the full circle, what means the tail has to be back at the very spot where he started counting. By the way, the commission in charge of the Brother Islands National Park now just shut down the area for diving until the rest of December. What good will that do if you don't change the practice how to dive with these sharks over there? Well, it won't really change the situation, even now that it's closed. Anyway, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.